spring-loaded things that we tore out because they were unsafe. There was one back down. It's that fun. So maybe we get it.
Ready to go in here. Good evening, everyone. I want to start the meeting with a pledge of flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, so start the review of the meeting minutes from our previous meeting on May 15th. I move to accept the meetings as submitted.
I second.
Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye. All right, resolution 2023. I move to postpone this to the next board meeting.
Second.
Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye. Resolution 7, 2023, policies and procedures for summer days only maintained by the Town of Freedom. Went over this the last meeting. We simply updated the price of the lots. I move to accept this resolution.
Second.
Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye. Resolution 8 of 2023, resolution transfer of funds. The Town Board of the Town of Freedom, pursuant to Town Law, Section 112, Paragraph 1, wishes to transfer excess funds from A201 General Fund monies in the amount of $240,000 to DA5112.2 capital improvements to cover the cost that will be incurred while rebuilding Cheeseman Hill Road. So moved.
Second.
Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye. Old business, the employee handbook. I forwarded the changes to all the town board members that Mr. Furkel just got to me. Since this is not a change in town law, we do not need to have a public hearing, so please make any changes as necessary and we will adopt those at the next town board meeting. Bids. The truck lifts, apparently we're having a hard time getting bids, so we need to find out if we can get that under state contract.
I will call you tomorrow.
Okay. Second item of business, paying the post office. I was only able to get two bids, one from Mike Pawlowski and one from Ed France. Mike was in the council. The first bid is from Mike. Looks like his price is $7,642. This is the interior of the building we're required under our contract with the Postal Service to do every 5 years. Appears we got a freebie because it was more like 12. So. Ed France says he'll do it for $7,775. So, town resident Mike Pawlowski gets the job. I move to hire Mike Pawlowski to paint the town post office as quoted. And I'll give you copies. I'll give you these.
Okay.
For a second.
Second.
Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye. New business. Mr. Aram had a conflict this night for, he didn't consider Juneteenth in his schedule, and he's asked to speak at a baccalaureate ceremony tonight at Franklin High School. And Circle C Ranch is able to actually get their camp program going this year, so July 24th is going to be really hard. July 17th is going to be very hard for them to make. Yes, if we can move it to July 24th. So based on previous discussion, I make the motion to move the July meeting to July 24th at 7 o'clock.
Second.
Roll call, Josh Arum, or Josh Cutler, sorry.
Aye.
Nick Morgan. Dustin Bliss.
Daniel Martonez, the town assessor, requested that we limit the office hours since no one has attended in the last 8 or 9 weeks until the end of the summer here. to every third Friday from 1 to 4. They're currently coming every Thursday from 2 to 4, is it?
1 to 4.
1 to 4. So does anyone have any concerns? You could certainly tell them to come back whenever you want. Or do you tell them no?
Say yes, and then if they show in their log that they're going to need so many hours, then in the future we could change it.
All right, then we'll just let it lie. Any other conversation on it? I mean, do you have any issues?
You brought up the valid point.
All right. I would like to make a motion to hire a surveyor to determine the boundaries of the property down on 98 across the post office, sometimes referred to as the town green. Does anyone have any discussion?
Can I say something? Sure. We've had two surveyors, and it doesn't need a survey, it needs to come out there with some 100 feet measures and measure it off, or similar to you building a building where you put the sticks in and do that. So will a third surveyor work?
I guess what I'd say, Randy, is if you have a survey, you failed to produce it to this point. So I don't know about one survey, let alone two.
Well, the one was when I was the supervisor.
That you didn't provide to anyone.
That I didn't provide to anyone?
You told us that the surveyor could not find the boundaries. That was the conclusion.
He actually never returned my phone call.
So that's not a survey.
That was the guy over at Rushford.
So that's not a survey. If we want to do something with this property, regardless of what that is, we need to know the bottom lines.
Mm-hmm.
So I make a motion to hire a surveyor to survey this property. Do you have a second?
I'll second it.
Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye. Do the other board members have any new business?
Do we want to discuss doing the rubber at the playground instead of the wood chips?
I think that I see those quotes that Josh got back to us. Is that your inclination? I know it's three times as much money, but they would last forever.
They'd last. I think return on investment would be better in the long run. Well, I didn't know if we wanted to use it with that type of money, if we had any left for that.
Yeah, there's plenty of money. Is that with what he sent us, those quotes, is that under state bid?
I don't know. I didn't have time to look in depth on it.
Well, I think that we need to wait for the next meeting to find out if that's under state bid or we need to get more bids.
What color did you want, Jim?
I don't care.
I can tell.
So,
would there be any sort of grant? We don't have a grant writer, a grant for putting rubber in the playground.
I don't know.
We're already using federal money, so it is like a grant in that regard. It wouldn't be costing our budget or anything. That's why we want to use it for that, reduce our long-term costs.
While we're still here on new business, we're going to public comment. Sean Perry is here this evening. Landowners, as well as neighbors to the project, or wherever this would be excavation, recently received notification from the Niagara River Well Survey. Would you like to speak on that, please, Sean, as well as anything else that you believe that needs to be brought up?
Yeah, certainly. So in coordination with our compliance filings, which are underway for the wind project, we have certain setback requirements from public and private water wells, oil and gas wells, that we're required to abide by to DPS. We sent out a well survey that is to both property owners that are participating in the wind project and adjoining property owners that are within certain distances of our planned facilities, whether they be access roads, collection lines, turning improvements, or turbines themselves. So we've sent these surveys out to the public. I take it the town board has been notified or has heard of these in passing. We are required to offer third-party well testing to any individuals that have wells within 100 feet of access roads or collection lines and 1,000 feet of turbines. So we sent these surveys out to ensure that we've got the most up-to-date data in terms of A, making sure that we're set back enough from these wells, and that B, we can identify as many wells as possible so that we can offer third-party testing both pre- and post-construction to these landowners. So I just wanted to come tonight and inform the board that those were sent out. I would urge any residents that have gotten the well survey to fill out the form and return it, just so that we can keep track of the well. If it is within a certain distance of our infrastructure, we will offer them testing of that well.
So you're asking the residents to survey their own well?
Not to survey their own well, just to identify it on a map so that if it's within a certain distance, then we'll be able to determine if it requires testing.
Wouldn't that like take a survey? I mean, they're just going to slap down some measurements.
Yeah, if they notify us that it's this area of property, we can determine and say, okay, this is within 100 feet of our right-of-way, our easements, or any infrastructure, or within 1,000 feet of a turbine, we can determine that if it's required to be tested.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add, Sean?
I had previously sent out a notice of updated numbers for our pilot and host community agreements, as requested to the town board. That was at the request of the town board previously in reference to this resolution. Previously, the town board had been postponing it until there was some clarity on the state tax methodology that was under consideration by the state of New York and was under legal review in a lawsuit by some concerned citizens across the state. I brought my colleague Henry Zonfeld, who's well-versed in real property tax law pilot agreements, just to fill in any gaps in information. He can speak more intelligently on it than I can. But I have updated numbers from both the pilot agreement and post-community agreement scenario, as well as if the project were to move forward under the
Sean,
New York State.
More of those?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Comparing if the project were to move forward under the New York State tax assessment methodology versus if Cattaraugus County were to offer a pilot agreement. The pilot agreement is the only way to effectuate the host community agreement and ensure that Freedom gets the best possible financial deal out of the project. The difference in terms of monetary benefit for the town is around $17 million over 20 years of the project. And so I've broken down year by year, projected revenues based on our revised layout where we've dropped some turbines, as well as how we came to these tax calculations using the model and the assumptions that we've used for both pilot and close community agreements.
Do you have final locations for turbines set?
What was that?
Do you have final locations for turbines set?
Mm-hmm. So we've got...
What update from that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's... That looks to be a pretty old map, I'd say.
Yeah.
So.
That's my one that was fairly old.
Yeah, I absolutely. I can get you an updated map for town hall.
Do you have another one of those papers, Sean? Please. Thank you.
So it's Henry?
Yes.
Okay, so under the assessment methodology, I mean, it's obviously very clear here that for all related parties that have been getting money over the first 25 years of this project, there is about just in excess of $10 million more via the post-mining agreement and pilot as opposed to the tax assessment methodology. The town of Freedom is the single biggest loser here. The county and the schools would make out about 40% more or greater in how much money they would get in assessment over pilot. What I'm looking at here that I find striking is the assessment of the project on year one of only $131 million. How is the state arrived at this number?
Yeah, so what the state has done, let me just...
Who are you with, by the
way? Hodgson Russ. So I do a lot of property tax and pilot and tax assessment work for renewable developers as well as some taxing jurisdictions. And up until this model, which really came out last year, the assessments of these projects was not at all consistent across the state, which caused a fair amount of...
So how would they be determined?
Now they are being determined using the discounted cash flow method. So we know that these renewable projects, be it wind, be it solar, they are a depreciating asset. Each year that of their life, which is 25, 30 years, they depreciate year over year. And then there are certain maintenance costs, replacement costs, et cetera. So what the state has done with input from the New York State Assessors Association and NYSERDA, the Department of Taxation and Finance, put together this model. And it's essentially a huge Excel file, spreadsheet file, and you plug in certain inputs and then you get a value. And those inputs are shared with the assessor. It's the size of the project, taxable status date, when it's been in operation, and then if you've gotten any incentives for certain projects, those get plugged in, and then the model spits out a value. It takes year one through year 25. There are fixed income and expense information in this model. And then it takes a formula known as discounted cash flow, and it takes a value, and it gives you a value today. It's essentially net present value. What it does is it depreciates over time, but gives you a value today based on discounted rates.
So cash flows.
Exactly.
I mean, it all comes down to like what the discount rate is.
And those are set by the state.
A discount rate of like 3%, which would be like a 30% average of inflation prior to 2 years ago.
Right,
that's a significantly bigger number, the net present value, than if you were to use the 10% cost of capital or discount.
Sure. So what actually the states do to update them? So because of this litigation, what the state did, it just readopted last year's models and last year's rates. The law envisions, the real property tax law envisions that New York State, the Department of Taxation and Finance, will review this model each year and update the discount rates where appropriate. Because of the litigation, they didn't do that this year. We expect that in the next go-round, they're certainly going to adjust those discount rates, we would expect.
You think a higher discount or a lower discount?
To be determined. I'm not going to guess what the state's going to do.
No, you're the expert in the room.
If I had a crystal ball, Mr. Supervisor, if you're interested, I could tell you what the discount rates are from the state now for the purposes of this. I'll pull those up for you. So, the discount rates now for wind, so there's two different, there's essentially three different rates. So, the weighted cost of debt, 4%, and the weighted cost of equity is 12.28%. And those are the values that the state has used, again, readopting them from last year. And it's important to understand that no one has a say over the rates or over the model. The model is now the law under Section 575-B of the real property tax law. So it's not like how it was where an assessor would have discretion to use any method that the law would allow. Now it must be this model and that's it. And neither.
So the only thing that's negotiable are the rates?
Well, the rates are negotiable insofar as Department of Taxation and Finance will review them each year, in theory. But nobody can come in and say, well, I think the rate should be more or less. The state sets it. It's sort of akin to assessors. If assessors have telecommunications or cable television properties, those are set by the state under the real property tax law, section 499. And the assessor gets what's called ceilings. Those ceilings are the value, and assessors can go beneath it, but they can't go above it. So it's sort of the same deal here. The state is setting the value and not giving assessors any discretion.
The value of the total value of the project or the discount rates?
Well, in essence, both. So the Department of Taxation and Finance sets the rates, but the Department of Taxation and Finance also created the model. And the model includes the rates, and when you plug in your input values, you get your output, which is the assessment.
So, you know, every project, unless someone just has a ton of money and doesn't need debt, is going to be a blend of debt and equity capital. So how do they determine what percentage of the weighted average discount rate was at 4%, and what portion of the weighted average discount rate was at 12.28%?
Well, that's sort of the black box that the state won't tell us.
Is that the ownership structure of who owns the project?
No, not necessarily. No. I mean, everything's set. They're really the only, they give you only about five different inputs for you to put in, and everything else is calculated through the model. And it's available online. You could go on Department of Taxation and Finance, you type the solar assessment model, it'll say, here's the Excel sheet. And you click on it, it's really like a 3 or 4 page sheet. The first page is plug in your input values, which are taxable status date of operation, tax load, if there's any incentives for the project, what kind of project, the size of the project. Those are basically your inputs. If there's a lease, you include that. And then you go to the next page, and it gives you your assessment. And depending on equalization rate, you would equalize that. Because it spits it out in full market value, you'd equalize it, get an assessment.
So is there a ceiling on the assessed? So this, in this one block we have here, has year one assessed value of the entire project. Page two. That's $131 million, some change, chunk change. Is there a ceiling on that number?
That is the number.
Under this
under the model.
But what about next year? You said they set the rates and then set the ceiling. What's the ceiling?
Well, no, I let me be clear. The ceiling was a comparison. I was explaining to you situations where the state dictates how the assessor must value projects. So the ceiling I referred to was known as the telecommunication ceiling.
Oh,
those are for telecommunication.
Does that apply to this?
It doesn't. It's only analogous insofar as it's a situation where the state dictates to local assessors how projects or properties must be valued.
So what you're saying is the county, for some unbeknownst reason, could say that this project is worth less than $131 million. But they can't say it's more.
They could say, well, to be frank, the county could say or think it's worth less, it's worth more. At the end of the day, it's the model that matters.
Oh, so that is the number.
That is the number. And even in terms of challenging it from a taxpayer-developer side, you couldn't even grieve it if you were using the model correctly, just to give you an example. The only basis would be to challenge something, and essentially it's a lawsuit against the state. So,
good luck.
Yeah, no, I know. It's the first time you see the state kind of take ownership of something it did and imposed on local municipalities.
Are you saying it's the first time?
One of the first times where the state says, we created this, now you could sue us over it.
Oh, how brazen of them. I mean, I just find it personally appalling. It's like we're idiots out here. I mean, it's pretty easy to, you know, just do a random Google search of what a windmill costs just to buy, and then you could probably double that with underlying infrastructure and installation costs. And this project is probably north of $600 million.
Well, But that's the issue, is twofold. One, you know...
Yeah, but if I build a house, it's going to be what it costs to build.
Well, it would be not in terms of appraisal methods in New York, and that's part of the problem. A lot of assessors were using cost to value projects, and cost is a disfavored method of valuation in New York. The state's highest court is the Saratoga Harness Racetrack case, where the court said, look, you use cost only in certain... very unique circumstances where essentially there's no market for the property, and it's considered a quote-unquote specialty.
So what if, you know, Alleycat or Invenergy decides that, you know, we enjoy developing this thing, but I've been running around Cattaraugus County for the better part of 7 years now. I want my, you know, my bonus now for developing. Let's dump this thing. They sell it for $500. So I go and sell my house for $500,000. It was assessed at $250. It's now assessed at $500.
Mm-hmm.
So under that same methodology, if this project gets sold, does the assessment go up to...
No.
And I'm not picking on you.
No,
obviously,
no.
You're not here.
This is enjoyable. For two reasons, and I didn't mean that facetiously.
No,
I mean,
that's fine.
This is, I can tell you understand how this works. So two reasons that wouldn't work. One, New York State Constitution prevents an assessor from reassessing a property based on a recent sale. It's called welcome stranger. You can't reassess somebody at a higher rate because they bought a property. You have to treat everybody even-handedly. So you'd have to do a reval, and then everything would go up. You could use that purchase price as long as it's done uniformly. The other issue, at least with the residential example, is you use comparable sales. You wouldn't use necessarily a recent purchase price alone. But, you know, it goes back to your original example with this project as an example. Cost is just a disfavored method. So they can go and sell, but the model is giving you a method, and that's the discounted cash flow. It's not saying cost, it's not saying comparable sales, it's not even saying income. It's saying discounted cash flow. Because there's no, the income and expense is already predetermined in the model largely with the discount rates. So you're plugging in only a few variables. Lease information, any escalators.
I just find it frankly insulting, the whole thing from the state.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem was, and I litigated a lot of these cases, you could go...
Which side?
Well, when it came to these projects, developer side, but I have represented school districts, towns, and counties in different kind of tax suits, you could go, you know, to a number of different jurisdictions throughout the state, go to 62 counties around New York, every assessor would assess these projects differently.
I get that. I'm just saying that... It was very obvious that the state was pushing. I mean, like, you look at the Dow Jones, they look at the S&P. I mean, you can't guarantee someone 12.28% anywhere. I mean, this is just a way to get people to guarantee to invest in alternative energies. And then furthermore, I mean, the value isn't in the technology. The technology at best would last a couple decades at most, either because it's just worn out or there's new technology available. The vast majority of the value in these projects, whether it's wind or solar, are the easements and the leases, because those things last forever. So you can take a tower down, put up a new one. So the fact that they're putting so much weight on the value of the equipment alone is what I frankly find insulting.
But it's not just the equipment. The model does account for lease values.
What's that?
Your lease. That is an input. So it'll ask you how much is your
rent. I get it. I mean... you can put excellent information into a model, but if the model's flawed, you're going to get a flawed result.
Yeah, and we've had that discussion. I mean, the state was not forthcoming about, you know, its black box. That is the actual quantification, the actual formula of how it takes in the input values, how it uses the discount rates. I mean, that wasn't made public. That's considered proprietary, and the state did not share it with anyone outside of the state, no matter which side of the aisle you were on or what your interest was.
I monopolize this time. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. And let me just say one other point, because people say, well, what does the model have to do with a pilot? You know, it doesn't calculate a pilot value. No, it doesn't calculate a pilot value, but what it tells you is what your taxes will be for year one, and in theory, you could project those outward. And that's relevant because your taxes cannot, your pilot rather, cannot exceed full taxes. So that in theory, in a 487 situation, would
487, you speak another language.
Sorry, sure. The exemption for some of these projects under 487. Now, if you go the IDA route, that's a whole different story. You have more flexibility with the IDA. And that's, I think, the route we're looking at here, waiting for the county, and I think the county wants to see what the town will do.
I guess just to help us understand here, is there any way that after, with all the variability in this model, and I know that it's a black box, but there's got to be some... with your knowledge here. You go down to this last line, year 25 assessed value for the Freedom component of $7 million. Is that current, is that real dollars or is that nominal dollars?
What do you mean real or nominal dollars? I mean, essentially.
So is that $7 million today, so in the future adjusted for inflation, it's less based on real dollar terms?
Yeah, because what it does is it'll split out a value each year, and then discount it for a net present value. So you get year one, but you can see what it's going to be in two, three, four, five, six.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow.
No, I understand.
So is this $7 million 25 years from now, or is it $7 million at today's terms that would have to be multiplied by 3 or 5% every single year to get to that number?
You know, I'm not sure.
$7 million is 25 years, not even a hell of a lot of money today.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I'm not entirely sure, and I don't want to give you the wrong answer about that.
Either way,
I have
it sucks
to see your
us.
Model. Well, I think this just shows that the pilot route is just far more favorable to the town.
How much variability is there here for energy? Like, how much, that $7,051,335, 25 years from now. You see that number there?
Yep.
All right. Can you tell me that we're guaranteed that will be the number 25 years from now, or is there any movement potentially in that number?
Well, I can't guarantee that because we don't know what the discount. Remember, the discount rates are in theory going to change every year, and the state could come around next year and say, oh, yeah, we're going to tweak the model and the formula and the black box. We're looking at the model as it is today with the rates as adopted.
Okay. So that isn't.
But
$131 million is a hard number.
As of the model today.
And it's probably not going to change in the next year.
I think not.
But $7 million, that's not a hard number.
It's not a hard number insofar as the model will change potentially each year.
So say, like, I don't know, maybe something miraculous, like 1994, people finally get sick of Democratic rule in all functions in New York State government. We potentially elect a Republican. They say we're going to throw this shitty model out and actually tax these sons of bitches. That number could become a lot higher.
It could, and I probably expect that, you know, there'd be a fair amount of litigation about.
It's just a chance.
Yeah, okay. Anything's a chance. I mean, listen, I could step outside and hit by a bus. I mean, anything's possible.
You hit by a pickup truck.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm joking. There's a lot of people who drive faster than me, so watch out.
But the point, and I think to your question, that's sort of the guarantee, to the extent you can guarantee the future. That's why the pilot and the HCA is so important, because it's giving everybody a sense of security.
Okay.
And look, the town's, you know, out of the other taxing jurisdictions, county and school, the town's share is the smallest piece of the pie, and that's common in most jurisdictions.
See why the county thought it. Not that they need an extra $4 million, but
under the assessment methodology, the town of Freedom would be looking at 14% of every dollar paid in taxes by Invenergy, versus under host community agreement and pilot agreement scenario would be closer to 65%. So just the share of where the dollars are going to which recipients in each taxing jurisdiction is wildly different.
Questions, Josh, or
nope.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Maybe let's move on to public comment.
Denise Willard.
I'm just wondering, is there a contract with the Wyoming County Animal Control?
No.
Because I know that on that night in April, there was, at the end of Justa's speech, Josh Arum, I don't know how to word it is, he recommended that the guys contract with them, and Nick seconded it. So I was just wondering if there was a
contract. So we're waiting to get a contract back from Justa, then contact. As you know, she's very busy.
Right.
So I've struggled to get a contract out of her. We still have a contract with Cattaraugus County because the contract we had, it automatically renewed,
mm-hmm.
unless one party wanted out. I've yet to receive notification then that they want out. So as of right now, we can still take animals to KRS County SPC.
Okay, and while I was reading back on the article about last August, I noticed in there that you also, not only did you ask Marsha if she really wanted to see a 16-year-old man out chasing dogs, you asked her, you told her that you were, you didn't have a conflict of interest because it was with a group.
Denise, the subject is a dead horse that I'm sick of beating, so do you have another question?
No, I would like to know, how do you get out of being a conflict of interest because you were with a group? That's what you told Marsha that night. It's in that article.
A dog?
No, the conflict of interest with the transmission line. She asked you about the transmission line and why you were voting on things with a conflict of interest. You told her that it wasn't a conflict of interest.
Do you want me to answer,
or
are you going to keep carrying on before your few minutes is over?
No, I was...
You want me to answer, carry on.
Okay, that's the way you treat a resident and a constituent? Because when you were with a group of Boers, Schwabs, and yourself going for the grant for the housing for your workers, you recused yourself. You left. That was a group also. You left the room when it came to voting on that, and you didn't even qualify for the grant. So which is it? You don't have a conflict of interest because it's a group, or you have a conflict of interest because there's a group? It doesn't make any sense, and that's not how a conflict of interest works. That is it.
Is there anyone else?
We just make up our rules as we go.
No, there's nobody else.
All right. I know you folks didn't sign up. First time I've noticed you here. Is there something you can't talk about?
Stuff for the kids to do in the summer. Like, it's not on our budget anymore.
I guess, are you referring to the RACS program?
Yeah.
The reason why we took it off the time was the town board didn't find it to be a high priority because people weren't attending.
Now I have kids.
If that's something you're interested in, I propose that you talk to board members. This year's budget is set. We start working on the budget in the fall. As always, people asking us to consider different ideas or programs. Like I said, I suggest to reach out to a town board member at that time.
Can I get a copy of where our money goes, like the budget or whatever?
You can ask Mindy.
They keep raising my taxes, but I ain't seeing anything in Freedom. Nothing.
Well,
there ain't even a bus to pick up my kids.
Well, that the town does not pay for busing. That's a school issue. If you'd like a copy of the town budget, you can come in person during Mindy's office hours, the town clerk, and submit a FOIL request for whatever documents you'd like. FOIL is Freedom of Information Law. So as long as the record exists, we can provide you with a copy of it.
She doesn't have to FOIL for the budget, right? You can just get her.
I just can get her
right?
Copy. Yeah.
Mindy has better knowledge of what needs to be filled and what's just publicly available.
It's also on our website, freedomny.org.
Would that be under the minutes?
Nope, it's right on the front page.
The budget.
Mm-hmm.
And your name is?
Angel Andrew.
Okay. Thank you for coming tonight. I move to accept our reports and communications as submitted.
I have a few things to say.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Jim.
Was it in again? First one is, in old business, there was nothing mentioned about the Amish laws that you were going to contact FERCO. I didn't do much myself as far as calling Ohio and Pennsylvania to find out how they have laws and we don't, but that wasn't mentioned in old business. So until we solve the problem, I think it should be in old business. Put in there. We had another issue the other day down on 98. I had the shoulder machine parked at the end of Green Road. Shmee come around with a dump truck. Amish Buggy goes up on the curb. Shmee says the kid wasn't 12. Lucky if he was 12. It was an Amish Buggy full of kids. How can this kid drive a horse down the road My kid can't drive a car down the road until he's 16, 17 years old.
When did you drive a tractor on the farm?
I don't want to. We're not going to divulge into what happened last meeting. You had public comments. Do not talk.
Okay, well, that's all I'm going to say, but that's one problem. Could you write the paper, please, in the next 3 months for our, when you put the Freedom Minutes in, the prospective dates for the road to be closed? Cheeseman Hill will be closed from, this is if the weather doesn't change us or somebody drops out, we can move up, we'll try. But it's the 27th of August until probably the 7th of September, it'll be closed to everybody except local traffic. There's two easy roads they can take, easy short detours. So that road will be closed completely for anybody other than local traffic.
Okay.
If you could write that, that'd be great.
And we're going to put it in August 27th and
97th. August 27th till about September 7th.
Finish. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to put an ad in paper closer to the date. But
yeah.
It will help to get that in the paper.
Okay.
That was one of the trash days. It's always a joke. It still is a joke.
So we need to change the signs for trash day, Jim. I'm sorry you forgot to talk about this tonight. We need to it is in the paper, the limits and town residents only. A lot of people don't see the paper. We're going to put on the signs that residency will be verified. Hopefully that'll spook people off enough that they don't think
I'm going to. Who's going to check it though? I don't have time.
Well, we got to do something, but
well,
there has to be something up on.
But it's a general fund issue and I don't have time to check it.
Well, I mean, you've got to be able to recognize the people, whether or not they're out of town, right?
I don't know everybody in town. Not realistic. Not even close. There's 2,000 some people.
All right, well, we'll have to hire some. I mean, Jim, this was your concern. You brought it to our attention, so.
Well, like I say, I think the way that one of my employees suggested, L.Y.
Yeah, but then you're saying you don't have time to, like, ask people, but you're going to have to collect tickets.
I'll get a handy one.
Well, what if, you know, I don't think that's right. You sent them in January, they're supposed to keep them until September. I mean, I understand we got to do something, but
I can go get my tax bill right now if you want. I know right where my tax bill is, and if you send them out with the taxes, I'm sure they could keep that copy.
So if they bring a ticket or the tax bill, I mean, you got to verify something.
No, the ticket. You got to have a ticket.
Or their tax bill?
I would say a ticket. Give them a, you know, if you say eight loads a day is ridiculous.
I understand we got to do something about it. We just got to, if you're too busy, then we got to get someone. If they're bringing that much extra trash, that's thousands of dollars that we're incurring.
Well,
we can afford to pay an extra person to be there,
yeah.
To take tickets or check tax bills, something. Because last year's bill was over $15,000, I believe, just for the spring one. We got strict limits of. But that's a double-edged sword. You tell people four tires, they show up eight. No, they drive up Galen Hill Road, and before they're at Crossroads,
exactly.
They're in the ditch. So, I think we gotta like be careful how we tread here because it might bounce back and hit us. But to your point, you bring up a very valid point. We could be spending thousands of money on getting rid of.
I kicked a few out.
Like the Amish, that there's only one Amish family
in
the town.
One Amish family on Blue Street, and we had two of them show up with trash. That wasn't the guy on Blue Street.
Well, I think
one did. I don't know if one of the ones did theirs, but the other one drove up and talked to Ron and paid to get rid of it. So I told him there's no way. He had a 30-foot hay wagon loaded. I'm going to turn that around and go somewhere else. And he went up to Ron. I said, you can go up to Ron and talk to him, and Ron took it.
Put it on our bill.
Oh, I'm sure he took it. I'm sure he got money somewhere. That's the only other discussion. I just had trash days, the road closed.
Well, I know that you and the guys are busy here. I think that we need to put some limits there. Because, you know, we'd like to keep the town clean, but we don't need this thing to turn into $25,000-$30,000 over here for the cost to us. So
could you hire somebody for the 2 days?
Yeah, I think we could hire someone to stand there to
stand there
check
and
tickets
there.
Or check tax bills with ID.
License.
So.
I would talk to
Mr. Brevity.
He's
wrapping us. Well, yeah, we do. Well,
true.
Because there's arcade, there's Dell, and there's. We've probably got some furniture.
The county has some reuse, and we want to reuse
it. Jim, did you have anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, move to accept all reports and communications.
We want to talk about Saturday.
Oh, yes, I can get past that. This is under new business, sorry, backtracking. We have this under the American Recovery Act. We decided to buy a generator. I have a quote here for $83,000. This is the federal government money that is for a Kohler 50 kVA generator, diesel. They would have an automatic transfer switch that nobody needed to turn it on. It would just start up on its own. So this is through what's called
Sourcewell.
Nick's worked through them. We don't need to bid it. It's through the federal government. And they find contractors to provide these goods and services. So Kinsley Power would be the vendor, and they would find a local contractor that meets their installation criteria to install it. So I move to accept the quote from Kinsley Power to buy a diesel generator with the federal government rescue money for $83,103.34.
Where will that be used, Dustin? Here at
this facility, yes. I guess the idea was that it would increase our emergency preparedness in the event of a storm.
Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye. Dustin. I might just finish voting and I'll call in.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye.
What act was that under?
That was the
Safe.
The Safe?
American Safe Act, yeah. Rescue Act, no, American Rescue. I can get you the name in a second if you give me a minute, okay? I can't remember right offhand. American Rescue Plan, isn't it?
Parking lot repair, post office.
That was a typo.
It was supposed to be, okay.
It was supposed to be painting on the post office.
Sorry, I was misunderstood.
Well, we've talked about it, so I just
that's why
to make
I
sure.
Thought that's what we were talking about.
All right, I move for the acceptance of general voucher 113 through 137 for the amount of $5,010.
Dustin, hang on. I never got a second for reports and communications.
Second.
Roll call. Josh Cutler?
Aye.
Nick Morgan?
Aye.
Dustin Bliss?
Aye.
Thank you.
I move for the acceptance of general voucher 113 through 137 for the amount of $5,010.03 for a yearly amount of $85,311.76. So moved. Is there a second for Mindy?
Second.
Just want to make it right. Aye. Roll call, Josh Cutler?
Aye.
Nick Morgan?
Aye.
Dustin Bliss?
Aye. Move for the acceptance of highway voucher 50-month-59 in the amount of $213,620.24 for a yearly amount of $310,980.20. So
second.
Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye. I move for the acceptance of lighting voucher 6-6 for the amount of $224.08 for a yearly amount of $1,736.46. So
second.
I got two. Who?
Josh.
Okay. Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye. Move to adjourn at 7:49.
Sean, is this on the WG's website?
Roll call, Josh Cutler.
Aye.
Nick Morgan.
Aye.
Dustin Bliss.
Aye. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.